This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
You know, the future always has a way of arriving ahead of schedule, and we're hours away from the beginning of another college football season. Well, about 161 hours to be exact. So it's time to get ready, make the final preparations, tighten up your game plan. I could go on, but let's get down to business because we've got a packed show tonight. And I want to thank you for joining us to talk about the greatest reality show in existence. The world of sports, and you can script everything except the outcome. On that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Out of Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. This is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. As you know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Channel 83 from 3 to 4 Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox, regardless of the season. Know this, as RJ Bell says, we promise to deliver the Vegas truth to you every Saturday night. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. It is college football season, and who better to have in studio with me tonight than the man with the college knowledge. Say hello to Brad Powers. Brad, thanks for
coming. Hey, Bernie, always a pleasure. We're a week out now.
We both are from Big Ten country, and for my money, the Big Ten is the most talked about conference in this upcoming season. And I'm going to break it down as to why, and you're going to break it down as to what folks can expect. We've got the West Division, which is packed, and we've got the East Division. Let's not bury the lead. It seems to come down to Michigan and Ohio State. Ohio State, of course, new changes to the head coach, quarterback, defensive coordinator. But let's start with Michigan, because if I had a nickel for every time I was asked the question, is this finally the year for Harbaugh, I'd have a lot of nickels. Your thoughts?
It has to be finally the year, Bernie. I mean, we're talking year five at this point. And I'm not going to come up with too many excuses for Harbaugh, but you look at his two best teams that he's had so far, 2016 and then last year's team. Well, they had to play Ohio State both of those seasons on the road. And I don't care who you are, winning in Columbus is tough, even though Michigan was favored in last year's game in Columbus. The fact that they have all the key games, at least on paper, the Michigan States, who they've struggled with, Notre Dame, who they lost to last year, Ohio State, all those games in the Big House at home, it has to be the year with 8 returning starters on offense and you got Don Brown on defense. Michigan deserves to be the preseason favorite. The question is, Bernie, though, what is my confidence level in Harbaugh and Michigan finally breaking through and winning it? Even though I have Michigan number one in my power ratings in the Big Ten, I'm not highly confident in that number, Bernie.
I'm not confident at all for a couple of reasons. First of all, the ongoing narrative is, well, they get Notre Dame at home, Michigan State at home, Ohio State at home, all those teams in the Big House. So what? They're 2-4 in the Big House under the Harbaugh regime against teams who finish in the AP top 25. You'll see some new wrinkles this year, Brad. They're going to go with two quarterbacks. Oh, maybe not 100% of the time. You're going to see Dylan McCaffrey, the son of Ed McCaffrey, the brother of Christian McCaffrey. He's lightning. When he tucks that ball and makes the quick read, and of course Shea Patterson is back and the receivers are back, you might see some hurry up. Something always manages to go wrong when the rubber hits the road and they look at Ohio State across the field with Ryan Day, and they're loaded on defense. You brought up some good points about them before the show. When it comes down to that game, something seems to go awry, but I'm of the opinion, Brad, that Michigan will screw it up well before that. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But as we fast forward, Michigan currently in that game is, what, a 3.5-point favorite?
You betcha. 3.5-point favorite against the Buckeyes. And keep in mind, they were a 4.5-point favorite in Columbus last year. So if you're thinking, how can Michigan be favored over Ohio State? They've only beaten the Buckeyes one time in the last 15 years against the Buckeyes. Well, where's your big bet last year when they were favored by 4.5 in Columbus?
Well, and we know Urban Meyer's record as a dog and his ability to win outright. It was incredible. Last year, at this time, honest to God, God bless you, if you actually laid the wood on the road with Michigan, I'm not going to pick on you, But you could have had Michigan last year at this time catching, I think, 4.5.
Oh, it was a touchdown.
Was it a touchdown?
Yeah.
Okay. So it swings all the way over. Well, we don't need to belabor that. What I really want to dive into, and by the way, before we jump over to the Big Ten West, the team you've been high on, and I've checked with my moles, you're spot on, Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State Spartans. Let me count the ways that they're going to be so good this year.
Well, first off, I think last year's team, there's a reasons why they only won 7 games, the Spartans. Number one, they didn't have a healthy quarterback. Brian Lewerke, the first half of the season, 60% completion percentage, exactly what he was the year before. Look, he's not a great quarterback by any stretch, but he's good enough to win you games in the Big Ten. What happened? He bangs up his shoulder, never the same throughout the stretch of the season. Second of all, very beat up at offensive line. 9 different starting offensive line combinations for the Spartans last year. But here's why I think they're going to be good this year. All 5 of those offensive line starters are back. Lewerke's healthy. Leading rusher's back. But the main reason where Michigan State's going to hang their hat on, which they have for the most of the last decade under Mark D'Antonio, defense. I think Michigan State might have, if not the best defensive front 7 in college football, certainly top 5 level defensive front 7. I think Michigan State's a team that's sleepwalking because, I mean, there's no one's talking to them because of Michigan and Ohio State. They're perfectly capable, and they've done it in the past against both the Buckeyes and the Wolverines. Look out for Sparty there in the Big Ten East.
And you were spot on about their over total of 7.5. They've got a real simple non-conference schedule. They'll go 3-0. They get to finish up against James Franklin and Penn State, who they own.
Yep.
Rutgers and Maryland. That's 6 wins right there. But I got to tell you, don't go to sleep on the Sparties. They could beat Michigan in the Big House. I believe it. They've done it before. And I don't know what happened to LJ Scott last year, but if they get any kind of running game this year to match that defense and a healthy Lewerke and a smart D'Antonio, who's proven, by the way, proven that he can come back after a bad season, and they're a huge dog against Michigan. Double digits.
Yeah, 13-point dog in the Big House.
Ridiculous. Let's flip to the Big Ten West. I've been looking forward to this, Brad, because, frankly, it is wide open at first blush. We're going to play a little game tonight called Contender or Pretender, and we'll just start at the top. Most of the water cooler discussion, I don't know if they still use that phraseology, water cooler, starts with Nebraska. Let's face it, Adrian Martinez, he led an offense last year that was number 7 in rushing, but they lose their top running back in Devin Ozigbo, and they lose a lot of guys in the offensive line. However, you got the Scott Frost magical factor. Can Nebraska win the Big Ten West?
I think they can. I think a lot of things line up for Nebraska. And let's start with the quarterback position. I get it, they've lost some key personnel guys, but the main guy's back. Adrian Martinez. This is a name you need to remember because he's going to be a multiple-year starting quarterback for the Huskers. As a true freshman last year, set a lot of Nebraska records. In fact, he had the 2nd most total offense yards in Nebraska history last year as a true freshman with all those great quarterbacks, including the Tommy Frazier's of the world. Adrian Martinez, in my opinion, is one of the most valuable quarterbacks, and we'll get to that later in the show. And you look at the schedule. Look, do I think on paper, if it was all things being equal on a neutral, against, you know, you compare Nebraska against Iowa, Wisconsin, do I like Nebraska a lot better than those teams? No, I don't. In fact, I would probably favor Iowa or Wisconsin on a neutral over Nebraska. But man, Nebraska's schedule, Bernie, they get Iowa, Wisconsin at home. They don't play Michigan. They don't play Michigan State. They don't play Penn State. And they get Ohio State at home. Out of all the contenders or pretenders in the West, they have the easiest schedule. Nebraska's a contender.
They are contender. As long as they can make up for the lost starts on the offensive line and defensively, they lack depth. But I agree with you. Adrian Martinez missed 1 game last year, and what happened?
They lost to Troy.
They lost to Troy.
Yeah, he's got to stay healthy. But, another thing, Bernie, people are prisoner of the moment. They're going to see, hey, back-to-back 4-8 seasons, and you got them possibly winning the West. Statistically speaking, Nebraska was much more like a 6-7 win team last year, and they were also much better in the second half last season.
Which is what you want to see, growth,
yes,
progression.
Absolutely.
And after October, you saw that. They're part of the mix. They're part of the conversation. So I'm going to put them in the contender category. I'm not predicting it, but let's see what happens. All right. Last year at this time, Wisconsin, folks thought they might challenge for a college football playoff spot. Paul Christ, they'd come off a dominating Orange Bowl victory, lost a lot of defensive players, but the Badgers, well, not so much. This year, their cross-division schedule is very unforgiving. They've got Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, but they got a new quarterback, and they get Michigan at home week three. Wisconsin, contender or pretender?
You mentioned a lot of things. I think they're a contender. With all things being equal, I have Wisconsin power rated as the best team in the Big Ten West. But you mentioned a key factor. The schedule is probably the toughest out of all the teams that are contending in the West. So that's going to bring them down a notch or two. I think Wisconsin, what happened, the failure last season should have Wisconsin motivated for this season. They still have Jonathan Taylor. Who's, you know, if you don't think he's the best running back in the country, he's certainly the most productive coming off a 2,000-plus yard season. Now, offensive line, they lose four starters. That's a big miss for them. But I think the real reason why Wisconsin took a major step back last year, Bernie, was the defense was banged up, particularly the defensive backfield, where they had to play 10 different starters in the defensive backfield alone. They're much healthier in that area this year. I think Wisconsin's a better team than what they were a year ago, but what will be holding them back from getting back to that double-digit wins is that schedule that you mentioned.
And they go to Nebraska and to Minnesota. And you may say, Nebraska, Minnesota, we're going to get to that. That's not going to be so easy. Iowa, this should be a quick one. I think they're a pretender. Quarterback Nate Stanley, he's got a whole new offense he's got to figure out. I just don't feel Iowa is going to be their year.
I have him as a contender.
Real? Oh, good.
I do. I have him as a contender. And to me, it starts with their quarterback, a three-year starter, Nate Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the country.
They lose Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson, and that to me.
Oh, yeah. And they lose a lot of guys in the defensive line. But I'll give you a name. A.J. Espinosa, the defensive end.
Yep.
First five-star recruit in Iowa history. Look out for him on the defensive end. But I guess contender, like I see him breaking through and win 10, 11 games, Bernie. No, but I think it's the typical Iowa. They're capable of beating anybody on any given Saturday. I think it's an 8-4 type of team, which I think a lot of these teams are.
I could see that. Well, they open up against Rutgers and Miami of Ohio. So that should be a couple W's. All right. The Power 5 long shot that everybody loves to talk about, Minnesota. Look, P.J. Fleck has a roster flooded with sophomores, 33% of the snaps last year, freshmen, 17 returning starters. I can't pronounce their quarterback, Zach Anikstad, is that his name?
Yep. And Tanner Morgan.
Right? So, and he was the true freshman last year. So, Minnesota, you got the floor.
So if you haven't been paying attention, it's been a couple years now since Row the Boat became a national phenomenon. 3 years ago, when P.J. Fleck did that at Western Michigan. Yep. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Cotton Bowl this year in Minnesota like Western Michigan did, but if you've been paying attention, it's been a slow build. He's built Minnesota the right way through recruiting, and it's still a young team. I think that their best team is probably next year in 2020. But it's the most experienced team in the Big Ten outside of Michigan State, 16 returning starters. A lot of sophomores. They were banged up at running back a year ago. They have three guys. They are as deep as anybody in the Big Ten at running back. Defensively, they got a couple studs. Antoine Winfield Jr. is a big one.
Oh, the old Ohio State.
Yeah, it's his son.
Wow.
He's really good. He was out for last season. He made a couple of big plays early on, and
that's right. That's right. Did he make that interception against Fresno State?
Won that game.
Good
Fresno
call.
State was a great team. Only lost a couple games last year.
Yep.
I think Minnesota quietly sneaking under the radar there. I would not be stunned, Bernie, if they ended up winning the Big Ten West. That'd be a surprise to many, not me. I think they're very talented. And I'll give you one more name. He's my favorite player in college football. He's an offensive lineman. Daniel Falele, 6'9", 400. I didn't stutter. I didn't mispronounce there. Not 300, 400 pounds. Daniel Falele, and he's agile. He scored a touchdown in the spring game.
Whoa, he's got his own zip code. He's Brad Powers. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're just getting started. We've got a lot more Big Ten stuff to get to. We're going to talk about some teams called Purdue and Iowa or Illinois as well. And I'll put a gun to Brad's head. I want to see who he thinks is going to come out of the Big Ten West. And we're going to do that on the other side. I want to remind you that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Get your free credit scorecard today, even if you're not a Discover customer. It includes your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted to. Don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. We're joined tonight by Brad Powers, the man with the college knowledge. We're chopping it up in the Big Ten, the most talked about conference. We've mown through Nebraska, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa. Brad, Minnesota? Let's talk about Purdue. They come off a breakout season. They beat Ohio State last year. They earned a trip to the Music City Bowl. Jeff Brohm, I think, is a great hire. I don't envision them making any noise in the Big Ten West. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I think Purdue takes maybe even a little bit of a step back this year. At least they're not going to – let's talk season win total. Season win total has been at 7. I'm going under 7 wins. Keep in mind, Purdue, it's been a decade since they won 7 regular season games, and that's what season win totals are. It's regular season only. They lose a lot of talent on offense. Rondell Moore, I love. He's the guy that burst on the scene as a true freshman, the all-purpose, all-everything player. But outside of him, what do they got on offense where Jeff Brohm really makes his hay on that side of the ball? Don't like the talent level there. Defensive side of the ball, they're going to be better. But, Bernie, it comes down again to the schedule. I'm saying, hey, Nebraska's going to be better than what they were a year ago. Wisconsin's going to be better than what they were a year ago. Minnesota's better. I mean, look, it's a zero-sum game. If you got a bunch of teams that are going to be better, some teams got to take a step back. Purdue is going to be one of those teams this year.
You're spot on in 2 points. Offensively, the returning production ranks 125th out of 131 teams. That's an issue. By the way, Brad, I don't think their preseason schedule is exactly cupcake. They open up at Reno, but that's 5,000 feet in the air,
yep.
Right? They got to get you. Then they go to Then they got Vanderbilt and TCU. So,
yeah, that's not easy by any stretch.
No, then you dive into the Big Ten. Finally, Illinois, Lovie Smith, maybe he earns his money. Could they make it to a bowl game? I mean, look, they only won 5 games last year, but they got a puncher's chance. They get to play Akron, UConn, Rutgers, Eastern Michigan. Their quarterback, you remember the name, Brandon Peters. He transfers in from Michigan. He had a little bit of a highlight reel there. And his running back, Reggie Corbin, returns, and they got their offensive line intact. Could Illinois make a bowl game?
No. Season win totals 4, and I think that's about right for Illinois. And, you know, if they win, go 4-8, I'm pretty sure this will be the last season for Lovie Smith at Illinois.
Goodness.
This is his best team that he's had, and I do think they're better than what they were a year ago, but again, it's just not good enough. I mean, they're not nearly as good as the Wisconsin, the Iowas, Nebraskas, the Minnesotas of the world, so no, they're not. And Northwestern and Purdue are better than them. They are clearly Illinois, the worst team in that division. They're not making a bowl. Although, if you want some action, Bernie, this is Straight Out of Vegas. I'll give you 5-1. They don't make a bowl game. So if they make one, you get 5-1.
I'm going to pass on that. It's probably more like a 50-1 play. But I'll tell you where, since this is Straight Out of Vegas, I've seen their win total at 4. Look at those teams I just mentioned. Akron, Eastern Michigan, Rutgers,
Connecticut.
UConn. Connecticut's a win. How's that not? They're going to be terrible.
Yeah, I see 4 wins on the schedule.
And they might steal 1 Big Ten win. So,
yeah, you might be right, Bernie.
You know, again, Brandon Peters is going to help a little bit. Anyway, Lovie Smith, he's got about 25 million reasons to be happy, and Illinois has got about 25 million reasons to be happy. I'm going to go out on a limb and put them in the pretender category. But I am going to put a gun to your head, Brad. The Big Ten West, for real. Nebraska, Wisconsin, maybe not Iowa so much, Minnesota. I will tell you, let's just say Nebraska, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, if one of those three found their way into, and I haven't mentioned Northwestern, I'm not going to, if one of those three found their way into the game in Indianapolis, I will not be surprised. But if you had a gun to your head, who do you like to prevail?
It's a tough question. And look, I'm not afraid to have some hot takes because I don't mind betting my cold hard cash when it comes to college football this time of year. But the Big Ten is the one conference that I'm least confident in. But you put the gun to my head, I'm saying Nebraska just because of this. I love the quarterback, Adrian Martinez, love the head coach, Scott Frost, and most importantly, love the schedule. It's by far the easiest out of all the contenders in the West.
They are the flavor of the month, and I agree. It would not surprise me at all, and you were right. Their first few weeks when they were finding their sea legs, some of those scores were misleading, and you could see the cookie jar. Look, we saw what Scott Frost did at Central Florida.
Yep.
He's got resources, and I think that's a good – I think that's a good solid – I wouldn't say speculative. I'd say it's a good, solid, educated theory at this point in Nebraska. All right, let's talk about some bets. Ohio State, they've got the win total of 10.5 or 10, depending on where you shop. Again, new head coach, new quarterback, plenty of things. Buckeyes might not get to 11 wins, but I would be dubious to bet the under. To me, it's over or stay away. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it depends on the number. If you got 10.5, I'd probably lean under, Bernie.
Okay.
They're going to be a dog in Michigan, although they have Michigan's number. I think at Nebraska at the end of September is very difficult. But, man, non-conference schedule, when you're talking Cincinnati, Florida Atlantic, Miami, Ohio, not all bad teams, but certainly no Power 5 team in the mix there. If I got 10.5, I will go under. I think the Buckeyes go 10-2 this year.
Now, if you don't want to play the Buckeye over or the Michigan over, I found this prop, and I found it interesting, that Michigan plus half a win versus Ohio State.
Ooh.
All right? So in lieu of taking a juiced win total, Big Ten or playoff prop, how about the good old head-to-head battle with Michigan's rival? You get the new offensive scheme with Josh Gattis. Look, you said it earlier in the show, or maybe it was off air, Ohio State's in Michigan's head. But if you had to lay that, who wins more games, Ohio State or Michigan?
I'll take you up on that. I'll take Michigan plus the half
win.
That's an excellent question, Bernie.
Well, there's always ways to find an angle, right?
Yep.
Straight out of Vegas. Nebraska, I'm guessing you're going over on this, right? 8.5.
Ooh. Now, that's a tough number.
Here's their problem. Their back seven is inexperienced and lack depth. They've got a depleted linebacker and secondary core. That means they're going to be susceptible to passing attacks. And as you said earlier, Nebraska will go as Adrian Martinez goes. His health is paramount to the success of Nebraska, and their offensive line is depleted. Over or under 8.5?
I'll go over 8.5 because I think they win 9 games. Although, honestly, Bernie, I think we could see 4 or 5 teams in the Big Ten West go 8-4. I think it's going to come down to tiebreakers.
Speed each other up.
Yep.
Well, let's not bury this other lead because you've been hot on these guys since April. Regardless of D'Antonio's record, off disappointing seasons, okay, this is a deep offense. It's going to translate to a deep offensive line should translate to keeping Brian Lewerke healthy. Their non-conference schedule, again, it screams 3 wins. The Spartans own Penn State and James Franklin. They get Rutgers. They get Maryland. I think they can beat Michigan. They can beat anybody. How do they not go over 7.5 wins?
Oh, they certainly go over 7.5 wins. Most places is up to 8 now, Bernie. I'd still lean over 8 wins for Michigan State. I think this is a 9-win team this year, and they might even be more capable of winning 10 games, which they've done in a lot of seasons in the last 7-8 years under Mark D'Antonio.
One last one. Penn State, I would lean under 8.5 because you talk about offensive decline. I believe that in the post-Moorhead years. You brought that up off air. You're spot on. Plus, Trace McSorley is gone. Sean Clifford is thrust into the spotlight with a lot of questions, but Penn State's defense is going to be one of the best in the nation. Can they sneak over 8.5 wins?
No, I'm going under. I don't think they're as good as Michigan and Ohio State. I think Michigan State, you mentioned, has got their number, and at Minnesota, I don't think it's a win either, so I'm going 8-4 for Penn State this year.
Good stuff, Brad. Coming up, you know, a guy named Pete Rose once said, coaching football is like driving a stagecoach. Without the horses, you ain't going forward. I'll explain. But first, let's go to the man whose middle name is Netflix and Chill. Let's go to Brian Finley with the latest.
Oh my gosh, Bernie, I don't know how I can top that. Stipe Miocic exalts as the heavyweight champion in UFC 241 over in Anaheim. Miocic trailed Daniel Cormier through 3 rounds, then knocked out Cormier in the 4th round. A Miocic right hand sent a frazzled Cormier into the cage, and then Miocic finished him off with a barrage of punches. Earlier, Nate Diaz won by unanimous decision over Anthony Pettis. Hey, online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Footnotes from NFL preseason games seen on Saturday, including one in Hawaii where the Cowboys ramrod the Rams 14-10. Dak Prescott completed all five of his passes. Tony Pollard had a 14-yard touchdown scamper. And a very important note, Dallas ends a five-game losing streak in the preseason. I know their fans are relieved to hear that. The Browns entrap the Colts 21-18 in Indy. Baker Mayfield sat out. Andrew Luck seen warming up but did not play. 29 penalties coming out of this game. How painful it was if you were there. I feel sorry for you. The fans deserve to get their tickets refunded. Also, in baseball, the Brewers take down the Nationals 15-14 in 14 innings. That game lasted over 5 hours. There were 11 home runs hit. And one more final, the Rays dispose of the lowly Tigers 1-0 in 13 innings. The barf-worthy Detroit Tigers struck out 24 times. Now back to Bernie Fratto, who loves wearing socks with sandals and a little bit of Crocs on the side.
Doesn't everybody? Thanks a lot, Brian. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. He's Brad Powers, the man with the college knowledge. I'm Bernie Fratto. We continue with our college football extravaganza. Brad, you did some great yeoman's work here. Not Bill Yeoman's of the Houston Veer, but close. And we've been focusing on the Big Ten, but I want to switch it up a bit because you've done some good research here in terms of who you've highlighted as the most valuable player in each conference. And I'm going to go to the Big Ten last, but I'm going to start with the Pac-12, a guy who's high on a lot of NFL draft lists. You have earmarked as the most valuable player in the Pac-12.
So this is most valuable players as far as to the point spread to Vegas. You see a lot of people talk about in the NFL, well, how much is Aaron Rodgers worth, Tom Brady, and whatnot.
Right.
You never see anyone talk about this in college football. I guess because their career is a short lifespan. But I went ahead and did the legwork here, and I think it's really good stuff.
It is.
Justin Herbert, Oregon, is the most valuable player. I think he's worth about 8 points, but Bernie, we actually saw this 2 years ago. Justin Herbert missed 5 games during the season. Let's talk about his 8 starts. Oregon's offense averaged 49 points per game when he started 2 years ago. Without him, they averaged 15. Now, I'm not saying he's worth 34 points in line, but I certainly think he's worth more than a touchdown. Justin Herbert, Oregon, will get a good look at him week 1 against Auburn. I think Justin Herbert, not Tua Tagovailoa, is the best pro prospect for next year's draft.
I'm in complete agreement, and I still know my moles that scout in the NFL. And to your point, Brad, if Justin Herbert's not on the field, they've got a kid who most people can't name.
Yeah, Tyler Shough. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, so no experience. He's talented. He's a 4-star type of kid, but again, inexperienced. That's why Herbert's worth.
He's
more
taking
than a
the same number of snaps you and I have.
Yep.
So let's go to the ACC. This one is fairly a no-brainer. I don't think the guy has lost a football game since Moby Dick was a minnow. Obviously, we know who he plays for, Clemson.
Yeah, it's Trevor Lawrence. Now, I said next year's draft with regards to Justin Herbert.
Right.
Keep in mind, Trevor Lawrence is ineligible until the 2021 NFL draft. I think Lawrence is worth 8 points. Now, the reason he's not, even though I think he's by far the best quarterback in college football, the reason he's not worth more than Justin Herbert is Chase Bryce, who actually is a quality backup, came in and did good for Clemson last year. One of the
saved their bacon.
Won him the Syracuse game. So he's got experience. He threw for nearly 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, interception. But Trevor Lawrence, the most valuable player to the point spread in the ACC, 8 points.
Let's go to the Big 12. Now, this kid is a baller, and it's great to see Texas back on the map. I love what Tom Herman's doing. We'll see if they can follow up on that bowl win.
Yeah, it's Sam Ellinger, the quarterback for Texas. He's worth 7.5 points. Look at last year's stat production. 41 total touchdowns for a Texas team that didn't have much production outside of him, particularly in the run game. And here's why, you know, is Ellinger as good as Justin Herbert? No. Is he as good as Trevor Lawrence? No. But why is he within a half point of those guys as far as being invaluable to the line? It's because his backups, His three backups have a combined zero career pass attempts. So that's there's two parts to this. How good is your starter? How good is your backup? Out of these guys, the backup for Texas, I'm not counting on. Ellinger's worth 7.5 points.
And this was the only category which I might have given a wink and a nod to Jalen Hurts. Everybody forgets he completed 65% of his passes at Alabama, was a whisker from winning two championships, and I think in Lincoln Riley's system, he'll be a better pocket passer, but I do agree with you. Sam Ellinger, they're a whole different team when he's on the field. He's that alpha dog. Let's go to the SEC. Nick Saban's guy. Well, not a lot of mystery here.
Yeah, it's Tua Tagovailoa. He's worth 7 points. And that might be a surprise because I would say in the Saban era, even the A.J. McCarrons of the world, more game managers, probably worth 3 or 4 points, but not Tua. I mean, he's their first dynamic playmaker they've had at the quarterback spot. Here's a remarkable stat. At all the great Alabama teams in the Nick Saban, Bear Bryant era, none of them, zero, averaged more than 40 points per game on offense. Well, last year with Tua behind center, Alabama averaged 46 points per game. That's the first time they've done that since 1945. You remember that, weren't you in high school, Bernie?
I went to high school the full 6 years, and I remember it was windy that day.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, Tua's worth 7 points a line. His backup, Mac Jones, though, isn't too bad.
All right, finally, the Big Ten, and you've sung his praises already, but before you give his name, I also, again, had a wink and a nod to Justin Fields at Ohio State because a lot of the hopes are going to ride on Ohio State and Justin Fields, but I agree with you completely that this young man at Nebraska, without him on the field, they haven't got a chance.
First off, let me comment Justin Fields real quick. I agree with you, Bernie. I just haven't seen him on the field enough playing. I'm really concerned about the backup, but not as much as I'm concerned about the backup at Nebraska because it's Adrian Martinez. I think he's worth 8 points to the line. We mentioned it earlier.
Right.
Martinez missed one game last year. What happened? Nebraska's at home, double-digit favorite. They're playing Troy. They lost the game outright. Fifth most total yards in Nebraska history. Did so as a true freshman. Backup to UCF transfer by the name of Noah Fedral. Limited experience. Adrian Martinez, MVP of the Big Ten.
I think you've got a solid list here. And if for any reason any of these young men go down, the fortunes of their team might follow along with it. All right. Is it going to be Clemson and Alabama again, or can someone break up the party? Brad Powers is going to tell you. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, and I want to remind you that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Get your free credit scorecard today, even if you're not a Discover customer. It includes your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. Okay, Brad, a lot of people talking about Clemson, Alabama. Can someone break up the party? I think we have a couple of teams in mind, but one of them is not Michigan. So I'm going to just take a second here to explain why. Now, look, I got nothing against John Harbaugh. He's as cool as the next guy, as long as the next guy is Genghis Khan. Look, if you want sleepovers, you want to climb trees, you want to go on field trips to Paris and Rome and South Africa, he's your guy. But he was hired to beat Ohio State. That's a buzzer. That's a wah, 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 wah. He was hired to win the Big Ten championship. Not even close. Hired to get to the football playoff. I do not believe it's going to be Harbaugh. They'll trip up. Notre Dame will catch him. Michigan State will catch him. Ohio State will catch him. I know those games are at home. Wisconsin could catch him week 3, or someone could come in on the left field. Probably not going to be Middle Tennessee State. But you brought up a great stat before the show. What's Harbaugh's record against teams who finish in the AP Top 25?
Yeah, on the road, 1-18. That goes back to, like, the Rich Rod. Actually, back to Lloyd Carr's last couple of seasons. 1-18 against AP Top 25 teams on the road.
Harbaugh's 4-8 overall, 2-4 at home. Mm. So he's not any better. But let's chop this up, Brad, because there are a couple of teams. And by the way, don't forget, folks, we're about 7 minutes away from our best bets, 6-7 minutes. Brad's got a doozy for you. Talk about the teams that could be the most likely to sneak in to the championship and eliminate the possibility of Bama Clemson for another year.
I got to start with the Georgia Bulldogs, the team that almost beat Alabama a year ago in the SEC championship game and almost beat Alabama in the national championship game 2 years ago. I mean, if you took a snapshot at points in those games in the late third quarter, Georgia was the favorite, a monster favorite in last year's game with Tua banged up, and it took a miracle comeback with Jalen Hurts behind center. Here's what I like about Georgia. If you've been following college football recruiting, Bernie, believe it or not, Georgia, not Alabama, not Ohio State, not Clemson. Georgia's going to have the most five-star players on their roster when this season kicks off in a couple of weeks. Jake Fromm's one of my favorite quarterbacks in college football. Look, he's not flashy. He's not like a Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have the arm talent of a Trevor Lawrence, but he's just so dang efficient. If you look at QBR from a year ago, only two guys were ahead of him. It was Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa. That's it. Jake Fromm was third. Offensive line, from what I'm gathering, and I do a lot of, obviously, college football is popular down in the South, but what I'm gathering is it's the best offensive line since that 2012 Alabama team that had a ton of guys like Chance Warmack, DJ Fluker, Barrett Jones. That's how good Georgia's offensive line is going to be. You look at the schedule. Yeah, they play Notre Dame, but it's at home. They get Texas A&M at home. They don't play Alabama in the regular season. Georgia will be a favorite in all 12 regular season games. Georgia's the most likely.
I love what you said about Jeff Fromm. Here's a kid who sets his feet in the pocket, keeps his eyes downfield. He is a prototypical pocket passer. And I think, let's not forget, Kirby Smart spent many years at Alabama.
Yep.
I think he's peeked behind the curtain and has an idea. And let's also not bury the lead. They had Georgia, if this had been a three-quarter football game, Georgia beat them everywhere, physically, on the scoreboard, statistically. They did what they wanted. Something happened in those fourth quarters, but I think lightning could strike. And I really agree with you. I almost expect Georgia, but let's hold off on that. I have one other team I think could do it, but you go first.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be agreeance with you. I hate taking some the thunder away from me, but it's
no, please.
It's Oklahoma out of the Big 12. I think they're clearly the best team in the Big 12. I love Lincoln Riley. I think there's a case could be made that even right now, even though it's his third year, who's better than Lincoln Riley in college football outside of Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney? I can make a case maybe Lincoln Riley's already the third best head coach in college football. I mean, he's made the playoffs his first 2 years. The offense really took off when he came to Norman. They were struggling under Bob Stoops until he came along there. They're off an 8-win season. I think Jalen Hurts will work at quarterback. He looked like a different guy even in spring. With 15 practices, he looked like an entirely different guy. Defense is going to be much better this year. I love the hire of Alex Grinch, 9 returning starters. They will be much better than what they were a year ago.
I think Lincoln Riley's done a brilliant job since taking the reins. Look what he did with Baker Mayfield, first-round draft choice. Look what he did with Kyler Murray. Give the kid a chance. Let's not overreact so soon. Again, Jalen Hurts comes over from Alabama. He's kept fast company. He completed 65% of his passes at Alabama. No one's going to confuse him with Joe Namath, but he gets the ball there. He keeps his eyes downfield. He makes good decisions. Look, what I like about Jalen Hurts, in my observation, quarterback is a position you play with your eyes. You receive the ball, you make mental snapshots, you execute. He's accurate. He throws the ball to the right guy. He makes his read progressions. To your point, I got to believe Lincoln Riley can take that and add to it. And Oklahoma has proven they can score on anybody. You know, their defense, that's another story. But in college football, I am of the opinion offense wins championships. That's just my opinion. So Oklahoma is going to have a fighting chance. But I'll tell you, and you know what? I should have teased this before the show. But if you put Oklahoma and Georgia on a neutral, what do you make that number?
Yeah, I make Georgia probably 2, 2.5.
So it's basically damn near a pick 'em.
Yep.
Anything could happen. Brad, any final thoughts as we head into week zero? You got Miami in the Camping World Bowl catching about 7 against Florida next week. They've got their quarterback named. Are you looking ahead to that game? Will you be on that game? Or
I'm not going to have nothing big on that game, but you know, no, I'm not going to go too far off the beaten path. I'd lean dog there.
Sure.
I love Manny Diaz to hire. I mean, the most Miami thing that's been done in the last 20 years is an invention of Manny Diaz. What is that invention? The turnover chain. Manny Diaz.
Wasn't
he's the son of a former Miami mayor. He was born and raised for this job. Give me the Canes +7.
And I got to tell you, I think Dan Enos will do a fine job as offensive coordinator. He comes over from Alabama. As you know, Mike Locksley gets the job at Maryland. Dan Enos was next in line. He takes off in the middle of the night and didn't make Nick Saban too happy.
No, it didn't.
But I remember.
Where's Dan?
I remember when Dan Enos was a quarterback at Michigan State.
I do too.
He was very serviceable. He was a decent coach at Central Michigan. He'll do some good things, and this kid, Jaren Williams, can throw the ball. Any quick thoughts on Hawaii, Arizona next week?
A lot of points, but the total says so. 70 is the total. I think, you know, push comes to shove. I'm going to lean with Hawaii. I think at plus 11, I think this is Nick Rolovich's best team yet, and I'm not sold on Kevin Sumlin.
I'm with you on that. Boy, we could do a whole show on that. All right, before we get to everybody's favorite part of the show, Best Bets, I want to thank my crew back in Los Angeles, Ryan Bershinger, Brian Finley, Chris Perfett. Thanks for all the great back work you guys do, getting us out of the year, keeping us glued together. Could not do the show without you. All right, Brad Powers, the man with the college knowledge. It's been great having him in tonight. Before we send him home, he's going to give us a best bet.
Yeah, and I just talked about this team. And normally I don't do this, Bernie, because I think futures market is more square than sharp. But this is a college football preview show. It's the second one we've done. I still think on a neutral field, Alabama and Clemson are better. But the best teams don't always win when it comes to college football. And I just, from following college football, I picked up my first magazine since 1990. And this is just a gut feel for me. I think Georgia is the team that wins the national championship. And if you want to agree with me, you can find Georgia right around 6-1 to win the title. Give me the Georgia Bulldogs 6-1 to win the national championship.
Solid bet, and there's hedge opportunities there as well. Brad, I like that. We'll revisit it later. Don't be surprised if Brad, you're right. My best bet is tomorrow, preseason game, Minnesota and Seattle. The total's 41. We are going to go under. I like the under tomorrow night, 5 o'clock Pacific, Minnesota, Seattle. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto. He's Brad Powers. Next up, the man from Nashville. He brings it. It's time for the Jason Martin Show.
Straight out of Vegas!